I bless it's possible to bless us to come to his word then this morning. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise today for this opportunity we have once again of just coming and Lord, just spending this time, Lord, in fellowship and communion with you. Father, we just ask you now, Lord, as we just, Lord, open the pages of your word, Lord, that you grant us revelation, Lord. Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. This morning I want to read a very well-known and often quoted verse of scripture, particularly in this church. It's read, or it's quoted, perhaps I can't say weekly, but certainly monthly, if not more than that. And that's found in John's Gospel, chapter 1. I want to read verse 14. You will know this scripture. It says this. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, this morning I just want to turn our attention or our focus on what we will spend a lot of time celebrating next week. Just in case you haven't forgotten, next week is Christmas. Yes, next week. No, next week. It's Sunday today. Sunday the 16th, 1 week. Sunday the 17th, the 2nd week. So next week. Christmas, next week is Christmas. And not next Sunday, but it's the end of next week. And we're going to celebrate Christmas, and we're celebrating that the Word became flesh. God's own Son came to earth. Now what I want us to look at this morning is the statement, "The Word became flesh." God's Word became flesh. In the Psalms, in Psalm 119 and verse 130, it says this. Now it's talking about God's statutes and God's written laws, but it says, "The entrance of your words give light." It gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of your words gives light. And the entrance of God's word at Christmas, or what we celebrate as Christmas, brought light to the world. Jesus himself said in John 8 that he is the light of the world. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The light of the world has come. The Word, the light, became flesh. And it said he dwelt among us. Now what I looked this morning at, just a few things surrounding the light of the world. And if you were to turn into just a couple of chapters over into chapter 3, I want to read just some words that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, starting at verse 19. Because we all know so well, John 3:16, where it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's again what we remember at Christmas, that God gave his only begotten Son. But then he goes on in verse 19, he says, "This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. This is the condemnation. You know what Jesus said in that verse? He says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then he goes on in verse 17 and says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then in verse 18 says that he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. And this is the condemnation. You know, that the light has come, and the light exposes darkness. Jesus came, and when you look at that picture, and I would want it to have had, well, I've got it, but obviously I haven't got the screen set up because there's no way to put it in here. But I had a picture to go with this of the baby in the manger. And as you look upon that picture, you know, over these next few weeks, as you consider the baby Jesus, when you look at that image, Jesus came as the light of the world, and he came to expose darkness and bring people to the light. There's a prophecy in Isaiah which we read at the beginning of the year, or towards the end of last year, the beginning of this year. It talks in Isaiah 6, it talks about, it says, arise and shine, for your light has come, if you remember that scripture that I preached on. You know, verse 3 of chapter 60 of Isaiah says this, that Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the rising, or the brightness of your rising. Kings will come to the brightness of your rising, the nations, the Gentiles shall come to your, and that's the purpose that Jesus came. He came to bring people to the light. He came to expose their darkness and bring them into the light. I don't know whether you've ever considered this before, but when you think of the Christmas story, what did God set in the sky as a sign that the light of the world has come? He put a light, a star. You know, God set a light in the heavens to show the whole world that the light of the world has been born. The light of the world has come. You know, it came. And he dwelt among us. And the scripture says, John writes, we beheld his glory. You know, the glory that brings a man from darkness into light. Something else about light which you may not have considered is that light requires an organ to receive it. And of course the organ that light is just talking about here is the eye of the body. Light needs an organ in order to receive, or in order to, for its reception. Just as you need a radio tuner to pick up the broadcasted programs. You know, in this room this morning, you can't see them, but there's a whole lot of radio waves, television signals are in this room, but you can't receive them until you've got a receiver. Or, if I can use this word, an organ that's capable of picking up the waves. You know, the light needs to be received. Jesus said this in Matthew 6. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Yet the light of the world has come. Just as our physical eyes receive the light, our physical eyes interpret the light and pick out the colours. So we need to receive Jesus by faith. We need to receive the light of the world. If we don't receive it, our body is full of light. Our whole life is full of light. You know, there was a song, a very popular hymn. We don't sing it as much. We haven't sung it as much recently, but there's an old hymn, a very popular hymn. It says, at the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there, took it at the cross. By faith, I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day.
Why?
You know in that cave Isaac was, he says, at the cross I first saw the light. You know, people used to talk like that a few years ago, and that's how they would say it. You know, I've seen the light, I've come to the light. They're talking about their salvation experience. You know, we come to the light of the world draws us to himself. You know, we receive the light by faith. You know, that little baby that's portrayed in a manger. Perhaps little did the world know at that time. Know that the greatest manifestation of light had been born. You know, there are uses of light in the scripture, which just want to look at a few of those this morning, just quickly. Yes, the light exposes darkness, and the light requires an organ to be received. But the scripture uses the word light to signify the glory of God's dwelling place. You know, in the Old Testament we read that God's presence was manifest amongst his people by a pillar of fire or a pillar of light. God with his people. That light is a sign that he's with his people. And what's that baby in the manger? Now what did Isaiah prophesy of him? Says that his name would be called Emmanuel. Because God is with his people. God with us. That's what we read in John 1:14. Says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He dwelt among us. He came and lived among us. God lives with his people. There's a verse in John 17 in Jesus' prayer, high priestly prayer to his Father. It says, we will come and make our home with those that receive us. We will make our home there. You know, the light of the world has made its home inside each and every one. You know, so when we look at that baby child, that image of that baby in the manger, we know that God is with his people. God is with you, he's with me. He's living right inside us. God himself. There's not some good feeling that we have inside us. It's God himself living in us, making his home in us. Yes, the light signifies the glory of God's dwelling place. You know, the light, Jesus said, you are the light of the world, because the light of the world is in us. I know we if you look at something like a lantern, you know, it's the structure of it, all intents and purposes, is a light. You know, it's or a lighthouse, something like it, they're a light which has the capability of shining out. But it's useless until you've got the light inside. And when the light is inside, then it's fit for its purpose. You know, the lighthouse beams its light across the waves. You know, the lantern shines out in the darkness. You know, when God himself lives inside us, then we are fit for the purpose that we've been created for. You know, God has made us for himself. And God dwelling with his people, God inside us, makes us fit for the purpose that we were created for. It's been well said, I never know who it is. I have some research, but I think there's two people it's been attributed to, but somebody once said this, that there is inside each and every one of us a God-shaped void. And only when God fills that space, he comes into us, are we fit for the purpose that we were made for. The glory of God's dwelling place, the light of the world, has come and made his home in the book of James, chapter 1. We read these words. James 1:17 says that every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Light signifies the impartiality of God. There is no partiality with God. No, there is no respecter of persons. And that's the great news of that Christmas, that Jesus came. Now, he didn't come to the palaces. He wasn't born of nobility. You know, had he came and been born in that situation, it would have been inaccessible to most of us. But God put him in a manger. He came to a lowly place. He came and dwelt amongst the common man. To show with God that there is no partiality. That whosoever will may come to him. Jesus receives all that come. None is turned away. He welcomed, well, not so much him, but the shepherds came to visit him. Kings came to visit him. There is no partiality with God. God is completely impartial. Whosoever will may come. The light of the world came for the whosoever, that whoever believes on him, John writes, what Jesus said, whoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But we beheld his glory, the glory, that light, that radiance that came from him. Signify that, yes, he's come to expose darkness. Yes, he needs to be received. Yes, he's showing us that he's with us. God's dwelling with us. That God is impartial and anyone can receive him, anyone can come. There's something else about light that the Psalms pick up on. In Psalm 4 verse 6 says this, there are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You know, that's part of the blessing, or part of the benediction. You know, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Showing us that the favour and blessing of God upon his people. When Jesus came, he was God's love, an expression of the love of God. This wasn't just another baby. This was God's love, the expression of God's love. You know, God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. God's goodness, God's favour upon an undeserving world. Yet God loved so much. God bestowed his favour in Jesus. Jesus is God's favour. He is the expression of God's love. He is the blessing that he sent down from heaven. Yeah, when we see that image of Jesus in the manger, let's thank God for his favour. Thank God for his blessing. The fact that we give gifts signifies that God is a giver of blessing. God is a favourable God towards us, bestowing his goodness. We've just read those words in James, every good and every perfect gift is from above. I want to finish this morning just looking at one more instance of light in the scriptures. It's found in the book of Romans, chapter 13.
What? Why?
Romans 13, verses 12 to 14. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Putting on Jesus Christ, putting on the armour of light. And light here shows us that God speaks of righteousness. You know, Jesus gives us the power to live righteously. He gives us the power. He gives us the ability to live that life that He calls us to live. The Bible tells us this in Corinthians, and it's the, Paul's argument. He says that Jesus became sin. He took our sin. He became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. You know, Jesus came, and His only purpose for coming was not so that we could, and don't misunderstand, it's not so that we could have Christmas. It's not so that we could enjoy and celebrate. That wasn't the purpose for Him coming. Now, He had to get here. And that's the means by which God brought Him into the earth. That Jesus came to die. He came to pay redemption's price. Right back in the Garden of Eden, God purposed that Jesus would come. God spoke to Satan the serpent and said that the seed of woman was bruised, his heel. You know, God set that in motion, and for thousands of years, God was speaking and speaking. Until one day He spoke this word to a young girl, and that girl received it in her spirit and in her heart, and Jesus came. God got Him there. But He came so that He could die for you and me. He came so that He could take our sin and bring us into His nature, the righteousness of God. So when we look at the baby Jesus in the manger, we're not looking at a baby, we're looking at the Savior of the world. We're looking at the one who came to die, the one who came to make us righteous. Something about that baby. Everything that God is. Everything God is. Everything God ever said. Was wrapped up in a little body. Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, as we consider Jesus this morning, as we consider Jesus over this next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, let's remember Jesus came. Everything, that statement, I heard that last year. Everything God is, everything God said was wrapped up in that little baby that we're going to celebrate His coming in these next few days. You know, God sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. He came to expose darkness and bring us to the light. He needs to be received into our hearts by faith. Jesus is God with us. God makes His home with us. Jesus shows us that God is impartial. that whoever will may come to him. Jesus is the favour and blessing of God upon us. And Jesus is the means by which we're made righteous. So let's give him all the honour that he deserves this Christmas, this next 2 weeks as we celebrate. Yeah, we get lost in all the excitement of Christmas celebrations, you know, the shopping, the wrapping of the presents, the giving presents, eating dinner, the gift room. It's all that, but let's keep Jesus as the centre of our thoughts. Last week,